Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who's given the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. At godswrd2man@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So tonight is Saturday, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, shalom, dear brother, and to all the brethren around around the world, in every geographical area of the earth they may be, that listening, our hearts are rejoiced and glad that we have this opportunity to share the wonderful hope and the only hope for the world and for America and for all people. That is the glorious news that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the gospel is the power of God and salvation and redemption to all that look to it. So, we are delightful that this historical moment that God has given us, the moment from all eternity to time, that we have the opportunity 2020, according to the Gregorian calendar, that we have the blessed time, Brother Nathaniel and myself, to be born, that we would have this hour given us of God to share with you the hope of glory, Jesus Christ, Lord. So thank God for the opportunity that you are listening in every part of the earth, whether you're male or female, or whatever race or group you may be. The gospel of hope and deliverance is for you and for your nation, for your family, your loved ones, and every person upon the face of the earth. Yes, Jesus really loves you. He gave his life. And he rose again on the third day, and we are called to share with you the hope, the eternal hope that he gives to those that hear and come to him. Thank God for you, brother. Thank God.
Amen.
For
God
you.
God bless you. God bless you, brother. Thank God that we have gotten given another chance to deliver the word of the gospel of Christ today.
Yeah, it's a glorious opportunity that we have been called to. I'm in Chicago, Brother Lee, and heart to heart and face to face, and I come face to face with the problems that all people, mostly all people, face. Even some problems in America we don't, that many parts of the world do not have, but basically the same problems. But America is more blessed and more favored, and we don't suffer certain things as of yet. And we are so blessed and be thankful for all the benefits that God has given us as a nation. In the beginning, a great Christian nation, who are now losing his light, its favor, and its glister. But anyway, we're hanging on by a thread, the thread of God's promise, that those that stand fast in the liberty wherein God has made them, that he'll come through and rescue them. So I'm glad tonight you in Durant, Mississippi, I in Chicago, Illinois, USA, to all our women in particular, because this is Women's Night, Handmaid's Night, in every part of the world, our hearts and faith goes out to you. I read a lot of and hear about a lot of horrific, terrible things happening in the parts of the world. My hearts and faith goes out to you. Hello.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. We uttered this little prayer. Father, eternal God, the eternal God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of the new covenant, we pray that every person, every individual that has this blessed time of just listening for a few moments, they might find the answer to their need, to their cry, to their sorrow, to their sickness, disease, to their disappointment, that they might find the hope and the answer to their cry, where is the living God? And Lord, visit them and make yourself known as we share the wonderful news about Yeshua HaMashiach, the Redeemer who lifted on the cross of Calvary and rose on the third day, is coming back again to rule and reign. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, and bless every listener that will take heed and be inspired to give their life and give their nation and bring their nation to Christ, the only wise God and Savior. Thank God. Amen. Well, it's a glorious night for Heart to Heart for all handmaidens and all the women of God with special honor and recognition, too. There's so many great women of God who are used in mighty ways. One of the greatest ways being a mother to raising the next generation, being a mother and also a handmaiden of God to share with them the spiritual dynamic of the kingdom of God. And also being missionary to share the gospel in many ways to people in all parts of the earth. So I'm just grateful for all of the wonderful women of God in particular that we're addressing tonight in particular, because they play a major role in the plan of God. The women, the mothers, the grandmothers, the wives, and the missionaries, the engineers, the doctors, lawyers, the helpers, everyone that's helping people to find their way in life. So we're just so grateful to give special recognition to the, especially the ministering spirit of compassion that God has given a lot of women, especially those that's in the body of Christ. And those that are not in the body of Christ who are doing good to try to help people, we also are thankful for you also. And I'm just so glad for this wonderful day, brother. I didn't quite get on yesterday. Boy, I was kind of, I don't know how I was running, so I forgot. I don't know. You know, boy, I tell you, when you get younger, you get younger. You know.
Well, you know, that's what happens. But you know, we took care of business, did what we had to do, no problem. I knew that it was something. I mean, if I don't see you on there, I knew it was something, you know, that had to come up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't no problem. You know, that's what that's what we're supposed to do. Back up, you know, one another, you know, and
absolutely.
Yeah, it wasn't no problem.
Good. Great, great. We have great women. Our sister Lurleen Anderson, missionary, evangelist, and Sister Helen Teagle. And also those behind the scenes who are praying and lifting us up. We're grateful for them. I was, our nation, America in particular, and the world has been centered on this election and who's going to be the president or whatever. And I'll focus all their attention this morning on that. And they kind of push Jesus to the side a little bit. And so you sit over here because we kind of focus on the president right now. We'll get to you later, Jesus. the majority of them was looking and thinking that this is a very critical time in the history of America, which it is, a very turning point, one of the most important elections. So they put all their attentions on the election, not all their attentions on Jesus and his word. So they was kind of pushing Jesus aside, like you sit over here, Jesus. We're not voting for you right now. We're voting for a man right now. So you sit over here.
And you know what, brother? They also were pushing real hard to make sure that Donald Trump didn't get back in. Brother, I got more calls from, and I just, those of you listening, I'm just going to be straight up. I got more calls from the Democratic people about voting and voting for Joe Biden than I ever got in my whole life. I've had, brother, they even came by my house knocking on the door.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've never had that. They were so very headstrong in making sure that Donald Trump don't get back in there.
Well, yeah, there were very many people who was taking different sides of the issue and was very, very, it got to be very, very chaotic, kind of violent, vicious, bitter. It's kind of remind me a little bit about America. America went through the greatest division, called the Civil War. And it looked like we was having another Civil War going on here. You know, in the Civil War, in America, it's called a Confederacy against the Union, brother against brother, sisters against sister. In the Civil War, 10 people, some was taken with the Confederacy, some was taken with the Union. And it was such a divisive time of chaos, a violent time, a time of separation. And we experienced some of that going in America, like a civil war, social war, a political war. But more or less, it's, a lot of it was a demonic war. And it was a time that people were kind of pushing Jesus. And he wasn't getting the attention. The gospel, the deliverer, the King of Kings on the throne of God was not getting the focus. It was all about, we got to get this man. We got to get this guy. We got to get the conservatives. We got to get a republic. We got to stop the socialists and communists. And I think that they kind of got off a line in thinking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Are you thinking that you're going to do this and solve America's problem? And you just push Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and push him aside and push the Holy Spirit aside and push the promise of God aside and just, it was really getting the radically confusing, you know. But anyway, maybe some of them will get back on the focus core of our deliverance, which is the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world and restore and reconcile and deliver and reconcile all men to the Father. Maybe we'll get to what the real answer is. You think we'll get back to the real answer?
Yeah, when a great shaking comes to pass, I hate to say that, but we just been headstrong, brother, in doing it the opposite. And it may pretty much take a shaking than an awakening.
Okay, now, just a few minutes ago, I jotted this down. I want to ask all the people that didn't get their prayers answered the way they thought they supposed to have. Many people praying about this. Now, this is funny. This is amazing. During the Civil War, America's Civil War in the 1860s, when we were divided, and more people died in that war than any of our wars, the Civil War. Now, there was hatred because brothers and uncles and cousins was divided. One side was fighting with the Union. The other was fighting with the Confederacy Army. Now, both of these Confederates, there was Christians in both sides now. Union Army and the Confederate, there was Christian both. Now, they're both praying to the same God now, whom they claim to believe, Jesus Christ. Both sides now claiming, asking for the victory. The Union asking for the victory. The Confederate Army and states were praying to get to the same Jesus now. So now Jesus has got a, you know, his Confederate soldiers coming before him. He's got the Union people coming before him. They both supposed to be in the same body of Christ. Now, this is the makeup. They supposed to belong to the same Jesus, both to believe in the same blood and resurrection, the same Lord, and they both have different social and political agendas fighting and warring against one, but they want God to take their side. So now Jesus
right.
got to take the Union side or the Confederate side. Mm. Now, this is the same thing happening in America today. And so the conservative Republican Christians maybe not get their answer, their prayers answered the way they want it. So now many of them is so sad because they were putting all their hopes for deliverance of America in this president. Now, I'm not against you, you know, wanting a good man and maybe a just man in the office, really for that. But to put all your hopes and all your trust in the arm of the flesh of a man, a person, and you don't get that, then you're putting that person in the place of God. You put in the place of them of Jesus as the Lord. And so a lot of conservative Republican supporters, now they're all sad because they didn't get their prayer answered the way they want. Now, so have you lost your faith? And my question to those that didn't get their prayers answered the way they want to, where is your faith? And I'm going to ask you, since you didn't get what you wanted and the prevalence you want, where is your faith? And then I'm going to ask you another question. O ye of little faith. Now, I want to say this. We're in the same situation. You remember when Jesus crossed on the other side and in the boat and his disciples were with him and a wind and a storm came and the water got in the boat and the boat was sinking. And Jesus was asleep taking a nap. And he was cooling out. And they want to know, as they were trying to row and the storm got so bad that the boat was getting filled with water and sinking and Jesus was still sleeping. On purpose, and they woke Jesus up and said, "Wake up! Don't you see the boat? We're about to perish. Don't you care?" And Jesus said, looked at them and said, "Oh, ye of little faith! Oh, ye of little faith, or hardly any faith! Why did you fear?" And he spoke to the wind, the storm, and the water. Now, America and many of the supporters of looking to the president for their deliverance, the White House or whatever house, they didn't get the prayers answered, and the water is sinking the boat. So they think that the boat is sinking because the Democrats win. So the boat is full of water, and they just about to give up. And, you know, you're going to hear all these folks, they stole the election. Oh, they robbed us. They mailed it. And they're going to go to blaming instead of going to faith. And this is what they're going to do. And you're going to hear all these Republican Democrats. They're going to say, they stole the election. Oh, they fraud. They lied. And they cheated. Because they are not trusting in the living God. You know why they're going to this? Because they lost their faith in their God, because they didn't get their request. And here's where the boat is sinking. This is where the boat is sinking. The boat is sinking full of waters because they putting their entire trust in Mr. Trump to deliver America. And when Trump didn't get, well, I don't know if he's going to get in or not. A lot of stuff goes on. It ain't over with till the fat lady sing or the skinny lady sing. I don't know. Which one is it? Skinny lady or fat lady? whatever. But that boat is sinking, and you hear all on the Facebook, they stole it, they robbed it, them no good. And these are supposed to be Christians now.
Yeah.
These are supposed to be believers now. They're supposed to have great faith in their God. But they didn't get what they want in the election. So now their answer is to accuse and condemn, instead of get on their knees and intercede and say, I believe my God will deliver. Now, where is their faith? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just put it out there. My name is Brother Lee. You can call me, Instagram me, because you was trusting in your prayers to be answered in the manner that you wanted them to be answered. But the Lord didn't necessarily answer your prayer in the manner you say, in the time you say. Now he's testing your faith. He's testing the conservative Republican. He conservative other people who is pulling for Trump. He's testing their faith. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Who are you leaning on? Is anything too hard for the living God? Is anything possible? Because when you get to the place of Jericho and the wall is so thick, impossible to overcome, what you going to do? Like Jesus said in the boat, oh, ye of no faith, a little faith. I just thought I'd tell Americans, those that didn't get what they wanted in the election. Hallelujah. Are you going to throw Jesus overboard because you were swimming for Trump? Oh, you know how they did it? They throw Jonah, had to, you know, they were swimming, the conservatives and the people were swimming so hard to get Trump, brother, they throw Jesus overboard.
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm sure, Jesus, you had your life wrapped on, because they don't throw you, they're so busy trying to get to Trump and push him in there, they just run over you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Forgive me, Lord. But that's what it seems to me. Okay. They are not believing, and many people are under the misunderstanding that, of course, it is a good thing, the Bible said, to have a righteous man, a righteous or a good man in office or a ruler or a king. It's always a good. But he's not the complete answer. Don't you see? Don't you understand that Jesus is the king and the Lord that he wants them to vote for? But they're turning their eyes on everything, and they should have voted for Jesus and vote for righteousness and return to the living God and to the Bible. They so much voting for the conservative. Well, conservatives had some good things in it, but they still turn their eyes off of Jesus and the king. And I said, vote for Jesus and the gospel and vote for revival. That's the only thing going to save America, not the economy. See, here's the thing. The conservatives, they think the economy was going to deliver America. Well, okay, let's get more money in the economy. It's good, but it's not the deliverance. Jesus never told you, baby, that because we get more money, more jobs, that was good, but that's not going to deliver America. Because that's not what America's greatest problem is. What is America's greatest problem? More jobs, more jobs, more jobs. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. Disappoint you. Wall Street can't deliver America. Crisis, GMAC, Wall Street can't deliver America by money. Read Psalms 37, Psalms 49. The love of money and the need of money is two different things, but the need of your faith, the trust in the living God, who Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord, and he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed breaking bread. So they were supposed to penny upon the natural. Oh, okay, it ain't going to be all right because Trump is in there, and we can just forget about Jesus and the gospel because we just get him in there. We solve our problem. We got to keep them no good Democrats and socialists out there. Well, now that you had to turn and look back to Jesus again. I said, Brother Nate, they got to turn back and look to those that believe the Bible, got to turn to Jesus Christ and look at him again, right?
That's right. That's right.
So now we got to go and apologize to Jesus.
That's right.
Because we segregated Jesus and put him at the back of the bus. You know,
right.
You know how they used to make black people sit at the back of the bus and segregate?
Yes, sir.
And say, you got to ride back here because you ain't good enough to ride with us. So
right.
They pushed Jesus back in the back of the bus, brother.
Amen. Well, you know, brother, maybe they give you some TV time that you can sit at over there.
you try to... You try to call the KK to knock on my door, don't you? You just amen. I have to release the warring angels, put the blood and the Holy Ghost fire around me, you know, against all of that. But I love them,
oh, yeah.
Both sides. I love all people. I don't love parties. I love the people. And I
right.
agree with some of the things that a Republican conservative stand for, even though they don't live by them. I do. See, it's one thing to say the Republicans, they believe in God and believe against abortion, but they don't live by this stuff. They
right.
just say a lot of stuff. Just like the Democrats, they say a lot of stuff.
Right.
But they still got prejudice, discrimination, and all stuff in their lives. But they'll say a lot of good stuff. And the Republican Democrat, they say some, you know, I'm against abortion. Great, that's wonderful. I'm against illegal immigrants. Great. I'm standing for Israel. Great. What else? Let me see. Prayer in the school, religious freedom. Oh, that's wonderful. But they don't live by this stuff, brother. They just they put this stuff out there to do a lot of it just to win political power. So today we're going to pray for people, not just Republicans, Democrats. So we're going to pray for people and for nations. The Lord is considered about all nations and all people, and that's who He died for. So
well,
if you might be a socialist or a communist, Jesus is concerned
you know
about
what,
if you any. Yes, go ahead, brother.
You know what? I just want to say this, brother, too, that what you had mentioned. Also, brother, there have been some in the body of Christ in the last past few months that God sent a message of warning to America. And like you said, you know, they're putting their trust in the man, but they also didn't heed the warnings. You know, this is another reason why we have the God has, you know, blessed us to take advantage of this technology because we have the YouTubes and the Facebooks and all that. And there were messages of warning going out for the past few months to America, okay? And the people didn't listen to it. And like you said, they put all into one man and say he was going to handle the all the problems that was happening in America. Well, the other thing they failed to realize that there was problems going on with him too. Okay. And it
oh,
was
no,
evident.
No, brother.
It was
no,
open.
No, we can't mention that now. No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
We can only talk about the Democrats, the evil, wicked Democrats.
Oh, okay.
That's the only one we're allowed to talk about, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
We can't talk about the president, his sins, his failures, his missteps, his lies, his deception. We can't mention that. We can
right.
only mention
right.
the lies of the Democrats and the socialists. Okay? You got to
right.
say that only the Democrats know how to sin. You understand that?
Oh, okay. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to straighten you out there.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. Everybody needs some straightening out. I appreciate that.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, you know, no, here's my thing concerning sin, iniquity, and unrighteousness. There is no respect of persons in God's sight. So when you want to accuse the Democrats being the only evil and wickedness in their platform, and you don't want to say a word about the other person who sinned, see, the Democrats, all their sin is black. All the Republican sins is white. Do you get that?
Gotcha.
We don't have to mention that because they don't do any sin or iniquity. You got that right?
Oh, yeah, got that one. Got that loud and clear, bro.
So, and Mr. President can get on there and lie on the TV openly, and they'll turn their faces the other way. Well, I didn't see that. I'm looking at the Democrats. I'm not looking at the lie that President Trump just told five of them on TV. I'm not looking at the womanizing women accused him that he went. Oh, I'm not looking at that. I can't look at that. See, now, if you're going to be honest, let's be honest. If you're going to be have integrity, have integrity. And so it has to be both sides. I believe in forgiveness. I believe in mercy. I believe in no matter what he's done, that he can get forgiveness and turn to. But you notice that he never repent on TV. He never would admit he was wrong. Do you ever get that about our covenant?
Amen. Amen.
Now, that tells a lot. I make mistakes and I fail, but I have to own up to them. That's the only way I can get right, right?
Right.
When King David did those three sins, the prophet said he had to own up to it, right?
Amen.
Well, King David was man after God's own heart. He don't have to own up to his mistakes. And the Democrats, only the only ones who are sinners and evildoers. The socialists and the communists. And I agree, they have a lot of evil in that platform. I agree. But here's the thing. If you're going to tell me I got to repent of my lying, but that the president and the vice president of his cabinet, they don't have to repent and be accountable, something wrong with that. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely got, where I work at, there's a couple guy, one Democrat, one Republican. Brother, they be going at each other so hard. And just like what you just said, I noticed one common thing out of all these years between them two, as hard as they go at each other, that no one seems to want to admit when their, quote, party is wrong. You know, when you talk to the Republican guy, he'll bring up, he'll go back as far as Obama and Hillary and everything. And
the
Democrat guy, he has to throw in there. So I noticed that common thing out of both of them. Even though they cussing each other out, I mean, I told them one time the wrong two men running for president. I said, y'all need to run. I said, because the way y'all going at each other, I said, y'all need to run for president. Yeah. But the common thing I seen with them, brother, is neither one of them I heard really, you know, sit down to say, okay, my man I'm supporting was wrong. They won't, that ain't coming out their mouth. Especially, brother, if they're arguing with each other.
Yeah. And partiality and not having honesty or integrity. Honesty and integrity. The Lord loves humility. And I'm finding out why the Lord loves humility. Why is humility in God so important? Because it calls you to be honest before God and depend on Him. When you fail, when you stumble, when you do wrong, you have to admit it humbly. And when you humble yourself to Him and be honest, you say, okay, I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to help you and put that in the past when you humble Him. And so here's the thing. America is caught in a trap. And this is why they push Jesus during the political scramble for presidential who's going to rule, who's going to reign. They put Jesus back in the back of the bus like they did in the South, put black people in the back of the bus.
Right.
Now they're going to have to go back there and get Jesus now. Since he's been sitting back there and grab hold to him. Jesus, would you like to come up in front of the bus? We kind of need you to drive the bus a little bit here.
Yeah, because the bus is tossing and turning, brother. The bus is tossing and turning. And you know Jesus back there sitting with peace. They ain't figured out what, how can he have peace in his bus tossing and turning like it is?
You know, we do that in a religious matter. We push Jesus and the Holy Ghost back in the back of the bus.
Amen.
We often make mistakes of pushing part of the gospel back in the back of the bus and rewriting our own laws.
Amen.
Now, I hope the Democrats are their party or plap agenda that embrace abortion, homosexual, transsexual, and all that stuff, and trying to take prayer out to school and all that. I hope they repent also from their evil rebellion against God. Now, Jesus loves all of these people that's fighting and arguing and on their own road. And they're just ripping one another apart. Now, when they get through ripping one another apart, is that going to solve the problem?
Oh, no.
You notice your two guys on the job, they never did solve the real problem, did they?
Never have, brother, all the years I know. All the years.
So now you're going to hear more fighting in these last two or three or next month. You all during the so-called Christmas celebration. It ain't going to be no Christmas celebration. It's going to be celebration how they stole the election. And they're going to be calling names all during December, all during November. We're going to the court. They robbed us. They took the election. They ain't no good. You can't trust them, dirty. All during the Christmas holiday, ain't going to be no Christmas jingle bell, brother. Jingle bell got to go.
Okay. Jingle bell gone.
Santa Claus, you gotta wait. Come back in February, because we gotta get this election. We gotta go to court, the Supreme Court, and get this election, because them Democrats are rotten, no good, mail ins, they don't stole the election. So we gotta fight and argue and call them names. Now in the meantime, an earthquake is coming. And while they argue and fight, know who won this earthquake and this famine coming to more America, I'm gonna see how they gonna deal with this. And more fire, and explosion, and volcanoes are coming in the Middle East in certain areas, and they're coming close to America, and those deadly bees, stinging death bees, are coming to America. I'm going to see why they're fighting one another and arguing and talking about who won the election. How are they going to deal with the coming judgment upon America? Because they've turned their back on the living God and turned their back on the gospel and the Bible. And they pushed Jesus back in the back of the bus and said, "We segregated you, Jesus, because you ain't." Now, you know, I'm going to say something that's kind of, you know that Jesus in his physical body was brown-skinned and tan-skinned?
Uh-oh, brother. Uh-oh.
And man. If he was probably, going down south, they said, go back in the back of the bus. You can't sit there with fast-skinned people. And because many people that have seen Jesus in his physical body, even though he had the white glory, the white Shekinah glory over his body, his actual skin was tan and brown. Now, you know how they would treat him today?
Oh, man. Oh, yes, sir. Well, most definitely. Okay.
Go sit in the back of the bus.
Right.
You can't move in this neighborhood. Woo, I'm going to get so many fan mails, brother. I'm gonna be at the top of the list.
Well, brother, I better call Brother David Terry and tell him he better watch out.
I'm trying to get
number one.
I'm trying to take his place.
Taking over.
Somebody about trying to get number one. Hater, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to ask about, right quick, before the sisters get on here. There's two things is a sign of the decaying of a nation. And we're going to talk right quick and make a question about in honor. The Bible said, honor the Lord thy God. And then it says to the husband to honor his wife and the wife to her husband, right? It says the wife is to honor her husband. And the husband is to highly regard the wife because they are one. But
right.
Most of all, it said, honor the Lord thy God, which means to worship him, honor him, or give him recognition and respect. But then it comes down to the family, the family issue on the earth. He said, honor your mother and father. The first commandment with promise out of the ten. Now, he didn't say the Sabbath. He says, out of the ten, honor your mother and father, the first commandment with promise. Now, why did he not say, if you don't keep the seventh day, this is special, more than special than anything else? No, he didn't say that. He did say, first
right.
thing, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and your neighbor as yourself. That's wherein everything is based in the plan of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Upon the rest of them are all standing upon those two. Now, you can keep the Sabbath, you can keep this, but if you don't love the Lord with your heart and love your neighbor, you can forget, you forget it. Hallelujah. Listen, thy mother and thy father. Now, as I walk down the streets of many of these cities, as a sign of the end of our civilization, I see young men and even some older men having their pants hanging behind their butt. And I'm kind of confused, Brother Nate. I want you're much younger than I am. I just want to kind of enlighten me, because I ask these young men, what's this all about? Because I know every generation has a particular fad that comes in.
Right.
But I see the young men wearing their pants and their butt, the pants beneath them, almost to their knees in the butt. And I see something else, that everyone is cutting their flesh with tattoos and strange signs.
Oh, yeah.
All over their body.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing, the young ladies were drilling holes in their, they used to only put earrings in their ears. But now they're drilling holes in their lips,
mm-hmm.
in their tongue, in their
mm-hmm.
eyebrows, inside of their heads, on their tongue now, in their hole, in their lips, and then put them in their belly, and whatever, drilling holes and putting earrings in it. Now I'm trying to understand this, Brother Nate. Kind of give me something to say. And the young men, I ask them a lot of times, I say, what's your problem with your belt or your pants hanging down?
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me what's that? Do you need any money? I'll buy your belt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to say, I ask them, do you have any self-respect? Then I ask them, do you have any respect for your mother and your sister to walk in your house with your butt showing to your mother, your sister? Do you have any honor, respect when you walk in the public with women that they want to see your butt? And you showing them your butt.
Right.
I said,
right.
What's with that? I'm trying to figure out, could you tell me what's that all about? Respect, no honor.
Yeah.
And you, no respect, no yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. But showing your butt. I'm trying to figure,
yeah.
what is that all about? Could you tell me? Because you kind of, know a little bit more about that than I do.
You know what, brother?
Huh?
You know, that what you're mentioning, to many of the parents, signs was already given. I remember one time when my son, I guess he said, well, let me try this thing. My wife called him right off the bat. She, boy, what you doing? She called him right off the bat and handled that thing right then. And many of the parents, this stuff that we see with the young folks, the science was already there. But they just ignored. I heard some of them talk on and say, oh, he think he's something with his managed self, using words like that. And they just smiling. And I said, what is cute about that? And so now the young man, they popping the earring in their ear with the pants sagging, because now they believe that they are a pimp now. They're a playboy, okay? And the thing that gets me with the women's side is that many of the women see them like this and still be liking them, okay? Still be liking
them. Oh, yeah, of course, they love that even more, because I see a lot of young ladies walking down the street, and the young guy got his pants almost to his knees and trying to walk, and they just be hanging on to him. But my thing, I want to talk about the women, which is even worse. Because the women are drilling, they got tattoos all over their body, just like the guys got these scriptural signs, symbols, curse things all over their body. And they don't know what that is. They don't know what that means. And they just say, well, why are you doing that? Why are you cutting all this stuff all over your body? Then I asked the young lady, I said, when I come out of the grocery line, I said, don't you know it's dangerous to have a hole or thing in your lip and on your tongue? Now, they got earrings in their tongue, brother. Women.
Right.
Then they got them in their eyelids.
Right.
Then they got them in their eyebrows. Then they got them in other places that you can't name.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out, I asked him, don't you know that's dangerous? Oh, it ain't nothing to it. I said, but you got a hole in your tongue and your lip and your eyebrow and your nose and then your belly. I said, could you explain that to me? What is that supposed to do? I'm trying to figure, is that for your health or for your wealth or for your education, for your spirituality? What is that? Oh, that's just something. I said, oh, here's the thing. Honor and respect. Self-respect begins first, self-respect. If you don't respect your house, your mother, your sister, or the public, or the government, it goes all the way. You don't respect the law of the government. You don't respect the laws of religion. You don't respect the of the family. You don't respect society's law. Self-respect. Walk down there naked. You know, more people are almost walking naked now in the cities. Let summer get here. Don't get summer get here, bro.
What you talking about, bro? What you talking about?
No.
It's Lord.
And I'm trying to figure out, the more they show their body, so somebody jump and rape them and attack them, they think it's all wrong. Yeah, it is wrong. But what part did you play in?
We can't bring, brother, you're not allowed to say that.
I'm sorry. I can't bring it up.
Not allowed to say that. Not allowed to say that. No, brother. Can't say
not
that.
Not allowed to say that. Not okay.
No.
So they can.
No.
Okay. Now, they walk down the street and showing sexuality. What's the point of being more sexy is to bring people to look at your sexuality, right? That's the point, right?
Yeah, but you can't say that.
Okay. Can't talk about it. Let me erase that. Okay. Hold on. I'm a legalist. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, because see, remember, it goes back to what you said about Republican Democrats. You know, they just blame the Democrats. So you got to just blame one side, brother. So you can't say that other side.
Okay. All right. So now we got our little girls before they get 5 years old, getting that spirit of Jezebel, walking in the street switching with a little short dressing, with a little dye bone, looking all sexy, before she can get 6 years old and switching in and swatching with that spirit. And then they want to start decorating them with all that stuff on their face and their hair. Before they can get 6 years old, the spirit of Jezebel is taking them over. And the spirit of Jezebel, it'll come into the church. The church looks like Jezebel.
Yep.
Oh, I apologize. Can't mention that. The only thing matters is your heart is right. You can do whatever you want, as long as you say your heart is right. That's nothing else matter.
No. As long as you say that, bro.
Okay.
As long as you say that.
But your mind ain't delivered.
Right.
I'm sorry. Your mind ain't renewed. Your heart may be right, but you ain't got no sense how to walk, how to behave yourself among a lustful fallen world to tempt and draw, seduce people. Oh, everybody want to look all sexy, brother. Why you want to look sexy? What's the purpose of looking sexy? Draw what?
Right.
Draw eyes to you?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to go back and apologize again. All right, then. Okay, I'm just from the old school. They call me crazy antagonizer, Brother Lee. Okay. All right. I got two titles now, brother.
Okay. I got to call Brother Terry. I'm going to have to tell him he got to move over.
Amen. Now, look. Now we're in a society where Ahab, Jezebel, you cannot tell between the dressing and the clothing of men and women because there is no more gender. The devil is really working, brother. The devil is really working to deceive all flesh. I just want to be a respectful male man and a respectful woman to raise the children. Now there is no gender. You know why the devil does not want any more gender? And why Democrats' platform probably going to embrace this?
Oh, yeah.
But let's pray. Let's pray that the Lord will turn the table on the devil. He's trying to take over America with Babylon and Ahab spirit. Babylon and Ahab spirit. Now, here's the thing why we have to try to help people to come to understanding of what Jesus died and suffered. Because there is no respect. Do you know people will go in the bathroom and respect in the and smoke in the house of God? Go even go outside. They have to go in the bathroom and smoke right in the house of God and smoke the house up.
Right.
When I was young, you have some kind of reason. No, I can't do it in the house of God. I got to go outside. Go out, get away. I can't bring no shame on the church and smoking no cigarettes and make the house of God no smoke sack. I just can't do that. No regard. No respect. It's gone. Honor and respect seem to be gone for many people. But there are other young people I see that's not given over to this. They're seeking good manners, good taste, going to school, developing their ability. And I applaud those young people and the mothers and grandmothers that's trying to train their children to be a light of excellence and good citizens. And there are a lot of young men and women, there are quite a few that are still pressing forward to be excellent men and women to contribute to our society. And I commend them. I really do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know why the devil hates marriage covenant? Most people don't know why the devil don't want the marriage covenant. All he wants you to do is just shack up and be a pimp and a hustler.
Right.
Most people in America do not understand why Satan does not want to honor marriage covenant, and he just wants people come together and say, I got a thing for you, bro. I got a thing for you. You my baby. You my honeysucker. We got it going on here. We don't need no covenant, no vows, no legal thing. We just got it going on. Now notice the first. Notice when the first and second baby come, he's out of there.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so, now this is a sad thing in our Western culture. Now you know why? One of the reasons that in the Middle Eastern custom, they still wear these long dresses, which I think is most of his bondage and fear. But I do regard that they cover their whole body. I got to give them some credit, even though there's no salvation and deliverance in that. But there's a behavior thing.
Right.
There's a behavior. And in the West, in the Western world, who call us civilized Christians, their dresses are shorter, thinner, and see-through, and everything. Now, these people here are in religious bondage, and they got more sense about how to conduct their body. But in America, who is civilized, more educated, more Christians, they're more naked than anybody.
Amen.
Correct me, brother. I know I get wrong sometimes. Could you correct me?
No, you're right about that. And brother, to be honest with you, what many don't want to admit, is a result from what's going on in the heart. That's what it's a result from. You know, you want attention. You want to be seen. And then you know some of it operating in the spirit of witchcraft, too. So, hey.
Wow. So we need this revival. We need, America needs the greatest need of the nations in the world is for Joel chapter 2 and 3. And Hosea 4 and Amos 9 and Isaiah 65 and 66. The greatest need for America and the USA, and I say this on Facebook, and I know people don't, because they think political change and social change is helpful, temporary, and, you know, and giving your rights as citizens, this is very good. It's only a temporary thing. But the real root is the heart of man, the real problem. See, you, I can make you accept me to move in your neighborhood and make a law that says I have to sit in front of the bus, I'm a black man, but I can't make you love me and accept it in your heart. See, the problem always comes with the heart.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the evil and the thing come from. So I can pass a law in Congress and enforce my civil rights and social rights, and I can live where I want to, ride in the bus I want, but I can't change your heart by those laws. You still have that in your mm-hmm. heart. I'm superior, and I'm superior to you, and you're brown, you're black, and you're white, you're red, you're poor, you're this. That class distinction, until your heart and your mind is re-educated in the gospel, your mind, because little children are taught to hate and to have racism at an early stage. They don't have it. They don't have it, brother. You know, I watched this. I went to used to go to tent revivals, and a little white baby would be in his sitting in his mother's lap, and a little black baby, a little black young, maybe two or three, they'll crawl out of their mother's lap, and the white baby, no matter what race, Chinese race, they'll crawl out there and they'll go in the aisle and they'll meet one another and they'll start playing, cause they don't know anything about this racial thing until they're taught that they're not supposed to do that.
Right.
The moment they start teaching them evil and superior and hate, after they get about 3 years, they start teaching them that. That's a black man, that's a blue man, that's a red man. They start teaching them. Now, I experienced this when I was living in the South. They start immediately telling their children that's a derogative name. They're teaching children 3 years, that's a nigger, that's a black man, that's a this. Now, I'm telling you some raw truth that people don't like to face. People don't like to face the real raw truth. And
Amen.
And people don't like to face raw reality truth of evil. They just want to make like, let's not talk about it. It's going to go away. Let's not talk about it. Okay. What did Jesus say, not talk about it? What did John the Baptist say, not talk about it? What did Jeremiah say? No, we're not going to talk about it. What did I have to say? I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to call you. He called them a swine. He called them serpents. We're not going to do that. Jesus, you out of order.
Yes,
as long as a child he's 1 or 2 years, he began to be taught by his parents or by his peers. Or he doesn't know the forbidden tree, that a white is not supposed to walk girl with a black or a brown or another race. So he's taught the difference that one is superior and one is this. If you teach him about drugs, but you know that our society now, we embrace drugs like it was candy. We
yeah.
even got laws that say it's okay, certain drugs are now okay. We got laws that telling us that two men and a woman can go change her sex, physical sex organ and become a man. And a man can go become a woman and change a physical sexual operation and become a man. Now, where do they get the mind that they want to change biologically what God has ordained in birth? Where do they get that from? Where that come? Well, I was born really I was born a man, but I really was a woman. Now, where do they get that from?
Man.
I ain't got time to go into it, but I'm going to tell you one scripture. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. Now, if you think that this is new because it's 2,000 years later, that this is something new, ain't nothing new with the devil. It's been since the fall of man. A lot of people think, oh, this is new. No, it ain't. Devil ain't got nothing new. Sin and the fallen ain't got nothing new. It's from old. It's from old. All the stuff you see today, that spirit, that curse is from old when the man was fallen. And think, we got to understand this, that the same devil is the same devil. Yes, and the living God is the same God. Okay? He haven't changed.
Amen.
Okay? The only people that need to change is us.
Yes.
Amen.
We's and us.
Amen.
That's Sister Allison. Hello, my dear sister.
That is,
your time.
Hello.
We greet you. And we were just talking and having testimony, and we was talking about the things of life and the things of the kingdom, and talking about a few things that are happening in this world and why we need the gospel. So go ahead.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers, and I thank God for the true word, because I was listening, and what has been said, it is true. And from the beginning, I was listening, talking about the presidents, and I guess I would have to repent or just say that I'm sorry, but that part have not fazed me, because I believe in the true and the living God, and the Lord's been laying on my heart more and more, and I've been hearing more and more about these children and what's happening to these children. And I did read in Joel, and in Joel where it talks about that they'll cast lots for your people, and they be giving the boys over to a harlot and sell the girls for wine. And that's, my heart is going out to these children and praying for these children that they will not be broken. You know, the Lord has really given me to pray for the mind of the people, and for these children, that they will not be broken through all the things that they are going through, because the parents are allowing a lot of these children to do the things that they are doing, because if a child is under my roof, they're going to follow my rules or their dad's rules. I put it that way.
Yeah.
And the parents are allowing a lot of these things to take place, because just listening to the testimonies and things that's happening in the world going forth, a lot of these little boys that started out wearing their pants low, they don't even know where that started. They do things and follow after so-called a craze of what other ones are doing. Are they being persuaded by somebody else? And all of the piercing and the tattoos, you know, they do not know where that stuff is coming from. First of all, it's coming from Satan. And secondly, starting out wearing their pants, you know, that started in jail. And they're doing that. They don't even know why they are doing it. And I just, you know, the Lord has, you know, given me to really, really pray for these children and these children that's, you know, that's being molested and raped, because praying that, you know, that somebody or there is somebody that they can go to and open up to, because what that devil will put in their mind, it will break them if they have nobody that they can go through, or the Lord doesn't give them somebody that they can go and talk to, believe in and trust, and somebody praying for them. That devil will break them through their mind, that he will break them. And the Lord has given me this. And also talking about, you know, what's going on out there with the candidates or whatever going on. You know, the word tells us that humility, and neither one of those men have it, but it's through humility, because the word tells us, if we have humility, and I'm talking about people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that through humility that you can win favor with God and with man. And so my hope is in Christ Jesus and not in who's going to be the president, because I just say for the Lord, he's been giving it to me to cause a greater shaking and a great awakening, and for him to rule and overrule, because That's what we're gonna need. And a lot of these things that, you know, during the discussion that's going on, it's because of the pride and vanity. It has filled men, when I said men, I'm talking about men and women, their hearts are filled with vanity. And like you were saying about they put Jesus in the back of the bus, and that's what they did. I mean, Jesus been put on the back burner, and that's what happened because their hearts are filled with pride and with vanity. The law of the Lord has been forgotten. They don't, you know, it came, as I was listening, it came back to my mind that something my husband said years and years ago. One of the sisters in the church was going through a hard time. And he, you know, said that, you know, things come up on people and they forget what the word says. And that's exactly what's going on because of the pride and the vanity that you can get the law of the Lord. And these people, they are falling after, you know, the word tells us too, to not follow not after the craze of the world. For the Lord want a holy people, and that's what people are doing, falling after the craze of this world. And they are really forgetting about their children, not teaching their children, because as you said, you know, these things in these children, it is being taught. It is being taught to them. And I just thank God because the word that went forth, it is true and it is gospel. It's in the word. I mean, the Lord has let me know that this word is a map. It's a road map. It's a life planning. You know, a lot of people walk around with these planners, these little tablets, and they are their planners. Okay, get this Bible, get this word of the Lord. Get the Lord's word, and you got your planner in your hand. And I thank and I praise the Lord for the word that went forth.
Amen.
We want to welcome all Sister Amen. Helen. God bless you, Sister Helen.
God bless. Amen.
Amen. Good to hear you there, beloved sister. You have a voice. You talk to people and to the women of the world or whatever the Lord put in your mind and heart to speak to the nation, the president, the governor, the women in India, in Pakistan, or whatever the Lord put in your heart, do so.
Amen. I thank the Lord for the word that went, the conversation that went on tonight. And, you know, and the word of God is yea, yea, and amen. And, you know, and I truly thank the Lord, you know, for what he are doing. And, you know, and like talking to my children, you know, about the things that is, you know, that is coming up on the earth and you know, and how the Lord do not want us to put our trust in the arm of flesh, you know,
Amen.
Because it will fail us, you know.
Yes, it is a time.
Put our trust and hope in Jesus Christ, you know, because we are living in the last days, you know, that it's going to require a greater faith and that, you know, that we cannot look to the system, you know, to take care of us. And, you know, and I just truly thank the Lord, and, you know, and I pray for the president and you know, and his cabinet and all of those that is in authority.
Yeah.
And, you know, what, and I also just thank the Lord, you know, for how he is blessing the children. And like Sister Anderson said, we lift these children up on a daily basis, you know, before the Lord. And, you know, and how the Lord have allow these two little boys to come around. One, he used to come around almost every day. They lost their mom. And so he, one of them would come around. And now the little one, a little older than him, he comes around every day. And, you know, and he kind of winning him over. And, you know, and I talked to him and everything. And I said, you know, you want to be a preacher. And he said, yes, ma'am. And then I told him, I said, you know, I said, the next time I go out, I'm going to buy you a Bible, okay? And he said, okay. And, you know, and I have a chance, you know, to reach out, you know, to them, you know, because, you know, they practically raising themselves because, you know, their dad be gone practically all the time. And, you know, and I really think that they doing a good job, you know, by themselves. But you know what? The Lord wants us to reach out to this young generation, you know, because this Satan, he seek to destroy them. And, you know, and I was talking to them the other night, and I was telling them about, you know, that I go to the sheriff's conference, you know, all the time. And, you know, we are required to be there because we're part of the Boys and Girls Club. And I was telling them how that, you know, they have this different sheriff and investigators and different ones that come in and talk, and I told them, I said, let me tell you, I said, they have already labeled you young black boys. And I said, and they have built the prisons for you all. And I said that they have this saying every time we meet, from the schoolhouse to the jailhouse. And I said, once you go into the jailhouse, then you go on to the second and the third stage of, you know, of being in prison. And, you know, and I was telling them that you cannot allow them to label you all and call them to be your destiny. And, you know, and I have a chance to really talk to them and tell them the things, you know, that goes on in the meetings, you know, that we be attending. And, you know, and they really, really need your prayers, because some of them, they are so confused. Mm-hmm. And they think that going out there with their pants down and carrying guns, that they are being fulfilled, that is their fulfillment. But it's not. And, you know, they are born by Jesus Christ in their life. And so, and we have to continue, you know, to reach out, you know, reach out to the young, ladies and young men. You know, and I thank the Lord for allowing me, you know, to be a part of their young life. Amen.
Thank you. The Lord is raising up what I call godmothers.
Yeah.
I know you all don't understand a lot of that. In my Baptist bringing up, or religious bringing, they had what they call godmothers. And you, every child that attended the church was given over to what they call a godmother to look after them. And we need a lot of godmothers, because a lot of the children in our generation and certain groups, part of our civilized Western civilization, certain groups need a lot, like what you're doing, Sister Helen. My whole heart has been for years, we need to get the children. And the Lord is deeply concerned about the new life that's coming, the generation that Satan wants to stop. That he wants to stop the plan of God, that God has ordained for these new children that are coming into the world. And that's why abortion is one of the things that Satan is behind, is kill all these babies, that seed that God wants to use and bless the earth. And the devil want to kill them through abortion. And the people don't realize it's a satanic plan, a cursed plan to stop the plan of God in these children that's to be born. And so we find a lot of children in our society now, in a Christian nation society, in certain groups, they are left alone, often without a mother or father. But this condition exists in other nations, because they get shot, the fathers are shot or get killed in the military, or the mothers left alone. But in America, it ought not to be so much so. But it is. And so children are without someone to really care, train, and teach them. And oftentimes the mother may die early, the father die early, or go to jail, or on drugs, or going all the time, and just like they don't have a parent. And someone has to fill the gap. The Lord has to give our hearts compassion to be a godmother to many children that pass our way. We have to adopt them. We have to adopt them in our spirit. Even though they're not legally ours, we have to adopt them in the Lord. And the Lord has given the spirit of adoption, that the Christians are to adopt these homeless, untrained, unwanted, molested, thrown away children who are looking for answers for their lives. And so he's raising up women, real women. See, I grew up in this society that we live in a lot of the Christian society, they get religious on Sunday and all that kind of stuff, and shout and do all that kind of stuff. But as far as reaching out, it's not a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
reaching out to hurting, broken lives, it's not a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Jesus went wherever there was a need. You know in the Bible where Jesus would go wherever there was a great need?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He didn't hang around the synagogue a lot. He would go and deliver a message to the synagogue, but he didn't hang around that. He didn't hang around the religious people a lot. He would deliver a message that he'd go into a need. He'd go into a hurting, to a wound, to a broken life. The children loved Jesus, and they tried to keep the disciples, well, let Jesus alone. But Jesus said, nope, let them alone. That's why I'm here. Suffer to be so. Bring them unto me. And he's telling us, you see hurting children, broken. Some of them are dysfunctional. Some unwanted, uncared for. Some have been living in homes where they're just going through all kinds of molested. And you have to ask the Lord, Lord, give me ability to help them within my reach, within my reach.
Amen.
And continue to do that, beloved. There's crying, weeping, in Zion. And it is because Jesus is concerned the children in particular.
Amen.
And because Brother Clark and Sister Clark and Brother Clark, when we used to go to door-to-door a lot, we would find a lot of stuff when we knock on people's doors, children coming. And we would see situations and ask them, say, well, this is that, and they would tell us some sad stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we were limited. We're limited, of course, legally, what you can do. But on a couple of occasions, we call the state on these houses, and sometimes you have to even call the state.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, you have to report them. In some cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did a couple of times because I did some situations. I had to call on these homes. I had to call. Oh yeah, I had to call. I'm sorry. I take the flap and take the lap, but there's some things you have to go beyond. Our young men are going to be the leaders of the home, the family, the children, the next generation, and when I pass cars and automobiles in our street of Chicago, and the young man got the music so loud, and the little boy or the little girl, like 2 or 3 years, sitting in the car, listening, blasting all that stuff, and he got a little hat. They put a little hat on the boy. He's 3 years, and his hat is turned sideways like he was gangbanger before he even come a gangbanger. And the dad got his hat hanging dagger back. He got the music on his own. And the little child is 2, 3 years old, is doing the little zoom, 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 zoom. And they get trained.
Yeah.
By dysfunctional fathers.
Yeah.
Who don't know what a father is.
Mm-hmm.
And they training them with this generation of doom, 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 doom. And the little babies, I see little children like 3 years old. They're just walking with their daddy, and his pants is hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just 3 years old. And he got his hat turned, and he just, But I said, we got to do something, Lord. The answer is a hands-on caring where you can help.
Amen.
Whatever your hands find to do, the Lord said, do it now. Now, there's some things you can do and some things you can't do. There is a limitation what you can do, but in the spiritual realm, there is no limitation. On your knees, there is no limitation.
Amen.
In the spiritual realm, you can get accomplished a lot of things, but you can't get done in the physical. In the physical, actually physical realm. And so, the Azusa Street Revival and the Cane Ridge Revival and the Wales Revival is the only really answer to America's greatest need. Now, I keep saying this, and nobody don't understand that. I don't care if they don't. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to say what needs to be said.
Amen.
The Azusa Street Revival gives you an indication the Wales Revival, Evan Rupp, and the Cane Ridge Revival in Kentucky is the only thing that's going to make a permanent real change in the American culture, home, and the way of life, and return it back to God. Now, and I'm surprised that the Church of Christ, well, the Elijah message, is not blowing the horn.
Yes, Lord.
Now, let me, Brother Lee, I can say what you all can't say. Why? Because I can take the flak. And see, I don't care if you don't like me.
Amen.
I would that you love me. I would that you love me.
Amen.
But I'm not here but on no popularity whether I like you. I'm going to blow the horn whether you like it or not.
Amen.
I'm going to blow the trumpet whether you like it or not. Because I'm called to blow a trumpet. Brother Nate is called to blow his trumpet. Brother Robert's called the trumpet. But we got different tunes, the same God. But I'm going to blow my trumpet. And I'm trying to get first place and Nate trying to get second place. Okay.
Jesus, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So when I miss it, pray for me. It's just like I pray for you. And you'll get better and overcome. When I miss it, you know, that's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. Help one another.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So I encourage Ola Don. She's come on Facebook. I encourage her. That's a breakthrough. That's a miracle. And so I encourage her being one of the women that's coming forth a little bit, and I appreciate her. And I'm grateful for her that she's having the courage to do so. So
Amen.
Let's encourage everybody to have that breakthrough.
Amen.
To have that breakthrough.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
This is the hour.
Amen.
We hopefully, the next two, we'll talk about what's coming in 2021 and 22.
Okay.
Brother, with 2017, as we close, we was praying and having a prayer. There was dates that he said the year 2000 is going to bring hit. He said the Lord will keep you apprised of what's going on, what's about to happen if you got a mind to get your ear. He said 2020, and then he says at the end of 2020, at the close of me, and I saw the month, like September, October, I saw. And as we were praying on Friday, Brother Nate and I, then I saw things that were going to happen. And then I saw after this, 2022 was going to come in. We need to pray for a spiritual awakening and revival.
Yes,
and the Church of Christ has to be revived before the end of this year. That's, I'm telling you, things are going to happen so quickly.
Yeah.
And we have not got no time to think about being afraid.
That's right, man.
Blow
Amen.
The trumpet in Zion.
Amen.
Amen.
If you don't want to be hated and despised, go join another kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll love you for a little while.
Amen.
But now, if you want to be hated and despised and make it count, stand up for Jesus and the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so keep on loving the children and reaching out, beloved. Keep on loving and reaching out. And I see where I had to make bigger steps, bigger commitment. Greater consecration is required. Greater giving of yourself. Getting rid of stuff that God can't use. I'm asking the Lord to help me to get rid of stuff that God can't use.
Amen.
They can't
Thank
use.
Thank you, Jesus.
As we go, Lord, take away every stuff out of me that you can't use
Thank
and won't
you.
Benefit. I want it to be
yes.
removed from my mind,
yes.
my thinking, my life.
Yes.
Cut it out like a surgeon, like a skilled surgeon out of their life. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to glorify you. Now, after we make this close, we ask the invitation to all the women and all the men. If you want to make a decision today, say, about your salvation and redemption in Christ. Christ died for your sins. He died for your sickness, disease, and he was lifted on the tree, and he paid a price that all men would come unto him and be saved and be redeemed. So today, it's an act of faith. If you say today, if from your heart, said, Lord, I don't know, but I heard that Jesus died for my sins and rose again. So today I'm going to take a step and a decision. I ask you to come and make yourself real in my life. Come live in my life. Blot out my iniquity and my sins. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. Give me a new beginning. Help me to know the true and living God today. I make a step to believe you to transform my life today in Jesus' name. And call, write, talk blog radio, call, write, or Instagram, and if we're there to try to help you, your children, or whatever your situation in your nation, we would intercede and reach out to you. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget tomorrow night, we're back with another broadcast at 7 o'clock. Brother Robert Gross and myself, the Holy Spirit upon part 3. Look for the advertisement of tomorrow night. So once again, as for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Tig. We love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless.